Thank you very much, and good afternoon, everyone. Good to see you. Actually, this is a Bible study where you can't ask any questions. There's not enough time. It's a split sermon Bible study. So it's a Bible study every week, isn't it? But this is a Bible study. Actually, this was going to be part of starting the Galatians series, a few areas that we needed to pick up on. We went into Galatians some time ago, but this is kind of a very direct subject going into that is involved in the book of Galatians, but it can be a study in and of itself. The actual title is Faith In or Faith Of Doesn't Matter. Faith In or Faith Of Doesn't Matter. When you get into a subject like faith, we realize it's multifaceted. For example, you can go to the book of Jude, chapter 1, and you can see where it talks about the faith that was given to the apostles or the early Christians. And there are many aspects. So we can only pick one aspect of faith when we give a 1 hour, 45 minutes in this case, subject on that that aspect. So it's faith in or faith of, doesn't matter. Now, as we look at this title, we might think, well, does it matter? You know, it certainly wouldn't matter. Why in the world would you take and give a split sermon on a preposition? Because that's what it boils down to. You've got faith in or faith of. You got in as a preposition and of as a preposition. How in the world is that going to matter? Well, we'll see as we go along here. And as we take a look at it, we'll see that if we embrace the wrong term, that we go back to Protestant theology is what we do, Protestant Catholic theology. It makes a huge difference. To demonstrate the difference, we're going to go into, first of all, Galatians 2 and verse 16, and we're going to take a look at two different translations. The translations do make a lot of difference. Most of us use the New King James. Some of you out there may have the King James. How many of you actually have a King James version? Okay, so quite a few. Well, you'll be able to see the difference as I read along here, because New King James will say it one way and the King James will say it the other. And this is going to show how when translators have a bias, when they believe that if you just have faith in, you can be saved, then they're going to take and translate faith in, faith in, faith in, as we'll see. So first of all, I'm going to read out of the New King James Version, Galatians 2:16. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by faith in Jesus Christ. Even we have believed in Christ Jesus, that we might be justified by faith in Christ, and not by the works of the law, for by the works of the law no flesh shall be justified. We'll hit a little bit on works of the law, not too much today. We'll just touch on it. It's a subject in itself, but we'll pretty much stick with faith in and faith of. So here we have a preposition in that is used in the New King James Version, and it is used with the word faith, and you also have the word believed that is used with the preposition in. Basically, they're the same word. One is a noun and one is a verb. When you look at the noun, it's faith. The verb is translated believed. You could actually say the person had faith in, and that would be using the word faith with the preposition in, and it would be the same from the same root. And it would be, in this case, if you had faith in, it would be a verb, wouldn't it? And if you say, I have faith, then you can say that's a noun. But here, basically what we're saying is you have faith in, believed in, and faith in. That's not confusing so far. All of you are supposed to say, yeah, that's fine. You look at it. But those of you who have the King James Version have something different. So we're going to go to that. King James Version. Knowing that a man is not justified by the works of the law, but by the faith of Jesus. Even we have believed in Jesus Christ, that we might be justified by the faith of Christ and not by the works of the law. So, New King James, faith in, believed in, faith in. King James, faith of, believed in, faith of. Now, we could go into those prepositions because actually all three prepositions are different. But we're going to dwell on the in and the of because that's where the main problems comes in. What is the problem? Most of us who have computers probably go into Google. That's usually the main search engine that people use. Or website, I suppose we could say. And I typed in, quote, meaning of faith in Christ. What is the meaning of that? Meaning of faith in Christ. And what you find on the first page is basically a typical explanation of Protestant theology. So here's what it says. And you might be turning to Romans 3:22 because this is where they are going to use the scripture. Romans chapter 3 and verse 22 and 23. The Bible, this is what they say, first of all. The Bible uses the phrase faith in Jesus synonymously with belief in Jesus as Savior. Now, actually, they're right. We'll see that that is not wrong at all. That's right. Then they go to Romans 3, 22 and 23. And that says, as we can read along with them in the Bible, righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. Now, they've gone from believe in Savior to, notice, righteousness is given through faith in Jesus Christ to all who believe. There is no difference between Jew and Gentile, for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. When I say they've gone from, they're quoting, including a verse that says righteousness, okay? That's where they go. Then they say, okay, so we have the quote. Now here's what they say. Conclusion. When we place our faith in Jesus, we believe in him and God grants his righteousness to us. Now there's the question. Okay, so they've got faith in, belief in Jesus. He grants his righteousness to us. So the question is, does God grant his righteousness to us if we have faith in Jesus Christ? Don't shake your head. You might be wrong. Does God grant his righteousness to us if we have faith in Jesus Christ? To grant means the following. To give, to confer, to bestow, to sign over. Okay, to give. You just have faith in. And the answer then is no. The answer is no. It's more involved than the Protestants say. The correct translation that they use is not the right translation. By the way, this is from www.gotquestions.org. That's where this comes from, okay? And then, of course, there's / faith in Jesus. So if you go to that site, this is what you're going to find. Now, what this verse should or does say, and they should have quoted it properly, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith, is it of or in? And the answer is it's of. It is not faith in Jesus. It's faith of Jesus. And so we think, well, what is the difference? Why the big problem? Which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe, and it's understood, believe in Christ. So why would they say that it's righteousness by faith in unto all who have faith in? Well, that's not what the Apostle Paul, inspired by God, is saying. He is saying that the righteousness is by faith of Jesus to all who believe in Jesus. Okay, so you have two things going on here, which oftentimes the translators choose, or because of their bias, or because they just think that righteousness comes a certain way, and don't understand the plan of God. They don't keep the holy days, for example, so certainly they don't understand the plan of God. So they just come back to faith in, believe in, faith in, and that's it. So the correct translation changes the meaning of the verse. And that is righteousness is by the faith of Christ after we believe in Christ. Now, in the sermon Bible study, I'll make it a Bible study, and that way I'll keep it to 45 minutes, right? But we're not saying that faith in is of any lesser importance. Faith in is very, very important. Do you think Hindus have faith in Jesus? Do you think the Muslims have faith in Jesus? No, they don't. Absolutely not. So that's very important. So what are we having faith in Jesus? What is that all about? Well, the two words, believe in or faith in, would be Strong's 4100 and then Strong's 1519. That's the preposition following the noun. And you can refer to belief in something or someone, okay? So when you read this, it's not always faith in Jesus. It's something or someone. You can have faith in something. What we're doing today is sticking with faith in Jesus or faith of Jesus Christ. That's all we're sticking to today. We don't want to get too far off the subject. Every once in a while, you see that it's faith on or believed on. Sometimes that's how it's translated. That is, when it's believed in or faith in, sometimes it's believed on, just to let you know. Well, as a background to faith in, we realize that God's chosen people were looking for the promised Messiah. They were looking for a ruler. And during that time when Christ was on the earth, we know it was the Roman government who basically was over the Israelites. And they wanted the shackles of bondage taken off of them, just as the Israelites of old wanted the bondage taken off of them by the Pharaoh. So they were looking for the promised Messiah. Daniel prophesied of this Messiah. All the prophets prophesied of this Messiah. But the only proof, of course, would be that he would be 3 days and three nights in the heart of the earth. And also, he would have to be resurrected. Now, during the time that Jesus Christ was on earth, you'll find that it was very seldom that he said he was the Christ. In fact, in Matthew 16, when he asked, well, who am I? And Peter said, you are the Christ, the Messiah. He said, don't tell anybody. I do not want this told. And that's why if you go through Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, you'll find very few references to Jesus Christ telling anyone that he was the Christ. You have his apostles who knew, not that Judas Iscariot believed it, but the apostles knew. And then also we're going to read of a couple more instances. So I'll give you two examples here. And remember, to be the Christ, he had to be resurrected from the dead. So not too many people were going to believe him until that time. That was the only sign that he would give them. When we go to John 4, here's one example. And Christ was in Samaria, but one example where he actually told a woman that he was the Christ. This is the woman at the well. John 4, 25 and 26. This is the woman who had been married 7 times, but she didn't have a husband, basically. But we come to verse 25. The woman said to him, I know that Messiah is coming. So here he is up in Samaria, comes across a woman who knows or is looking for the Messiah. And it's very important to pick up the context here that she does tell him the Messiah is coming. And then I believe John would be the one who added, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will tell us all things. And Jesus said to her, I who speak to you am he. Now I think he was safe. He was far enough away from home, or Jerusalem in this case, that he could say something that wouldn't get him in too much trouble. That is, it wouldn't get him crucified right away. So he was willing to point that out to her. And it tells us that definitely ahead of the time, he did let it be known once in a while. So he talks a little bit more, but you come down to verse 39, and notice what it says there. Many of the Samaritans of that city believed in him because of the word of the woman who testified, he told me all that I ever did. So she is telling the other Samaritans what happened at the well, what Jesus Christ said, And she believed him because when he said, I am the Messiah, I am the Christ, she went ahead and believed him because he knew so much about her already. And that proved to her, this is the Messiah. So she told them, and what did they believe? They believed in him that he was the Messiah. Another example is in John 11, 20 through 27. John 11, 20 through 27. Here's where we have the story of Lazarus who died. And then we have verse 24. Martha said, when Jesus told her, your brother will rise again. This is John 11, 24. Martha said, I know that he will rise again in the resurrection at the last day. Jesus said to her, I am the resurrection and the life. He who believes in me, though he may die, he shall live. And whoever lives and believes in me, notice, and believes in me, shall never die. Do you believe this? And notice what her response is. Verse 27. She said to him, yes, Lord, I believe that you're the Christ. So he knew, she knew what he was talking about, what he was trying to tell her. I believe that you are the Christ. And that was what was so important at that time. The Messiah is coming. And she, of course, being close to him by that time, knew, realized that he was the Christ. So again, you find just a couple incidences of where it was revealed to other than the apostles that Jesus Christ was the Messiah. When we're baptized, and be turning back to Galatians 2, we'll go there probably three times in the Bible study here of these two words. But when we're baptized, I think all of us remember when we went into the pool or the lake or the tub, you know, the horse trough, whatever it was, that the minister gave the covenant that we had to agree with. The ministers asked our name and then said, have you repented of your sins? And we said, yes. Have you accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior? And the answer is yes. And then because you have repented of your sins, which are the transgression of God's holy, righteous, and perfect laws, and because you have accepted Jesus Christ as your Savior, your High Priest, your Lord and Master, your ruler, soon coming king, then I baptize you, okay, from there. So what did we have to believe first? Because we believe in Christ as our Savior. Have you accepted Christ as your Savior? We don't do that, we can't be baptized. And also, we haven't received the Holy Spirit by that time. We have not received the Holy Spirit. Now, that doesn't mean that God hasn't called us. It doesn't mean that he's not leading us to repentance. So he's very much involved at that time. We all realize that. But we don't have at that time the faith of Jesus Christ. Notice Galatians 2 again in verse 16. Even we, this is picking it up in the middle of that verse, even we have believed in Christ. That's what we do before we're baptized, and that's a covenant we make at baptism, we believe in Christ Jesus that we might be justified by the faith of Jesus Christ. The justification has not taken place yet. When we say we believe, there is no justification yet. Very important, but there's no righteousness bestowed on us by God, by Jesus Christ, at that time. Now, can you say that we are right in making the covenant? And the answer is yes. So, if we want to get really, really technical, we could say, well, sure, God gave us the mind to accept Christ as our Savior. But when we're looking at it from the standpoint of view, the overall view of our Christian life, and we're saying, well, we have been now perfected and made right. No, this is a starting point, very important starting point. But at that time, we make that covenant, and we don't have God's Spirit yet. In chapter 3 and verse 14, if you'll take a look there, it says that the blessing of Abraham might come upon the Gentiles in Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. And what would that be? That would be faith in Christ. That's understood. It's not stated here. But by having faith in Christ, then we receive the promise of God's Holy Spirit. And all fits into the basic principles that we learn in Hebrews and what we go through in preparing for a baptism. So belief is our choice after we've been called, but many are called and few are chosen. So some, after being called and actually believing Christ is the Messiah, will not go through to the next step. They will not. And they actually never become righteous until that point. Let's go to Romans 3, 21, 22. And I'm referring to that again because it is such a key scripture in the book of Romans itself. Romans chapter 3, verses 21 and 22. And I'm going to this because just a little later here, in a few minutes, we're going to come back to that. Romans 3, 21 and 22. Okay, verse 21. Now the righteousness of God apart from the law is revealed, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is through faith of Jesus Christ. Here you have a problem again. It should be the faith of Jesus Christ to all and on all who believe, for there is no difference. Now, what was this righteousness apart from the law? Well, verse 20 is talking about the deeds of the law. And that's where he's picking it up from, the deeds of the law. And I'll explain that again a little bit later, because we think, oh, because I keep the commandments, so righteousness apart from keeping the commandments, righteousness apart from doing anything. Well, there's an answer to that. So that's a transition scripture to keep in mind. Now, let's go to the faith of Christ. Sometimes physical analogies help. I looked up the car that was worth the most money. And what I found, and there may be specialty cars, I think one of the Arabs had one that was painted with gold, so that would probably be more than this one. But this one was pretty expensive. It's a Lamborghini Veneno Roadster. It's worth $4.5 million. Okay, so let's say that one of you owns this car, okay? We'll take Bob Freeman, owns this car. It is the car of Bob. It is his car, and we have him taking us out to dinner more often this way. It's the car of Bob. Car belongs to Bob. Now, when we come to the spiritual side of this, we realize that when it talks about the faith of Christ, it is his faith. It is his faith. And we have to have that faith. We have to be the ownership of that faith, the same faith that Jesus Christ had. That's literally what the faith of Christ means. And that's a big difference between faith in Christ. Faith of Christ is the faith. I can have faith in Bob that he owns it. Well, I might not have too much faith on that one, but if it's $4.5 million. But you get the point. There is a difference between faith of and faith in. So Christ's faith must become our faith. The same faith. The faith of Christ is granted to us when we have the Spirit of Christ, which is only possible if Christ were resurrected from the dead. We may or may not be familiar with this scripture, but the Corinthians were told that if Christ were not resurrected from the dead after his sacrifice, your faith is futile, you are still in your sins. That comes from 1 Corinthians 15:17. Which means that the whole world who says, well, yes, I have faith in his sacrifice, if he were not resurrected, we're still in our sins. Why is that? Well, it's because we don't yet have the faith of Christ. As important as it is to have faith in Christ, that is still not enough. The nominal Christian world has faith in the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. They're thinking in the wrong direction. They're having faith in something that is wrong, but they still could say, I have faith in Christ, and they could say, I have faith that he's our Savior. They do say that. That's a right expression. They just don't know how they're saved. They impute the righteousness of Christ to themselves just because they have faith in Christ. There's a word called anti, it's probably not antinomian, but it's antinomian is what it is. And that word means faith in the sacrifice of Christ without any moral obligation. No moral obligation at all. And that's where the world goes with this. Basically, the world has that type of faith. And they believe that they're Christians. And they've got the starting point. They just don't have their minds open. So if we believe in the sacrifice of Christ to take away our sins without receiving the Holy Spirit, which is only available after his resurrection, then we still do not have the faith of Christ. Our sins are not remitted. We don't have the Holy Spirit. We don't have an immortal body. We do not have everlasting life. Okay, faith of. What is faith of? We'll come back to Galatians 2. And then we'll go right down to verse 20. There's so much packed into just those three verses from, or four or five, from Galatians 2:16 to Galatians 2:20. But this is a very, very important extension, I guess we would say, of verse 16, because it really wraps up what he's talking about. So Galatians 2 now and verse 20. This will explain a history or a mystery that is hidden from the ages, basically. Notice verse 20. I've been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith. Now everybody who has the New King James, it's in, isn't it? By faith in. That's wrong. It should be I live by the faith of the Son of God. So in verse 16, we believe in Christ so that we can have the faith of Christ. Verse 20, how does that happen? Verse 20 tells us exactly how it happens. We are crucified with Christ at baptism. But back to Romans 6. It is no longer I who live. We died in that spiritual death in the watery grave of baptism. Now Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith in or of, faith of the Son of God. How is that? Christ now lives in us. We have to have Christ living in us to have that faith. There's no other way that it can be done. No other way. You can't have somebody else's faith unless you have their mind. And you have so often the expressions, let this mind be in you. You have the mystery hidden from the ages in Colossians 1, which says, Christ in us, the hope of glory. We have expressions like, we are being formed in the image of Christ. We have new man as an expression. We have becoming a new creature as an expression. There's probably a dozen scriptures like that telling us that we must be the seed, like the seed of Christ, or as the seed of Christ in the same book. It's the only way. Because remember, the promise of eternal life is only to how many seeds? I was checked on that, I know. But one seed. Okay, one seed. That word can be plural or singular, by the way. But it says one seed. But in this case, it's actually many, but we are one in the same as Jesus Christ is what it is. So that's very interesting. If you go from 2:16 to 2:20, the verses there, you can see exactly what it means. The following scriptures should be read using faith of. If you want to make a note of these, I've already mentioned some. Romans 3:22, I mentioned that, and Romans 3:26 should be faith of. If we use faith in, we're going the wrong direction. And Satan is really coy. He can catch people because we can get caught up using that expression and thinking, yeah, I guess it is. There's a righteousness by having faith in. Well, it's important. You can't have righteousness without having faith in, but you got to complete the process. You absolutely must. So if I get down on my hands and knees and I say, Marion, will you, and then I don't say, marry me, I've started the process, but she doesn't know what I'm asking her to do. She's not going to say yes. She's not going to say no. I may be asking her to bake me a dozen apple pies before we get married. You know, check out her apple pies. If they're good, I marry her. If they're not, I don't. So you get the point. There has to be a completion of what starts here. Okay, what about, and this is the last section that I'll get into, what about what we read back in Romans? Romans chapter 4. Let's go over that one more time. Let's go to Romans 3:21. Now the righteousness of God, Romans 3:21, apart from the law is revealed. And now down in Romans 4. So this is a context. I'm just showing this is a context. And in that same context, it does say the righteousness of God, which is through the faith of. Okay, remember that. So we come down to Romans 4 now. And starting out in verse 2. If Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. What do you mean works? For what does the scripture say? Abraham believed God and it was accounted to him for righteousness. Now we're going to find that the works here is not the same as the works where we find the exact same expression used. And that's in the book of James. James arguably is the first book that is written in the New Testament. It was written about 50 AD. Romans was written about 57 AD. But the question I would have for all of us is, what if you have a statement that Abraham was justified by works and it was imputed to him for righteousness, and another expression where it says Abraham was not righteous by works and righteousness was imputed to him? Where is the problem? And the problem is with works. In one place, works is one thing. In the other place, works is another thing. Not the same works. It's all defined by context. That's why everybody loves the Apostle Paul. Because he'll use a term like law or works, and he will mean it one way one time and another way another time. So let's go over to James 2 for a moment. And here's where the same expression is used. Same expression. Peter, James, and John. Okay, James, Peter, John, James 2. James chapter 2, and let's go to, verse 21. Was not Abraham our father justified by works? Now, all you have to do, again, is look at Romans 4, verse 2 and 3. It says, if Abraham was justified by works, he has something of which to boast, but not before God. And in James 2, 21, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered Isaac his son on the altar? Do you see that faith was working together with his works, and by works faith was made perfect? And the scripture was fulfilled, which says, Abraham, here's where it's the same expression as Romans 4. Abraham believed God, and it was accounted to him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. When was it accounted? When did God say, okay, I'm putting this in the ledger, I'm marking this one in? Was it when he had faith or when he offered Isaac? And the answer is, nothing's in the ledger. No numbers, nothing significant in the ledger of God. Accounting, if you're an accountant, righteousness, didn't put the big R in there until after he offered Isaac. And remember what, or was willing to. Remember what God said? Now I know. Now I know. And it wasn't until that time. He had a good idea, but it wasn't until that time that he said, I know. So what do we have back in Romans 4? Back in Romans 4. And the question is a big question. Do we subtract James, which was written first, from Romans? Because when Romans comes along 7 years later, he says something different. So we just blot out James. You know, get rid of James. Martin Luther would do that, the Book of Straw. I don't like what James says. I do like what Romans says. I'm going to go with Paul on this one, is what he would say. And that's where Martin Luther lacked understanding. And we have to be careful too. And we only know through study. It's study and growing in knowledge that gives us understanding of the scripture. So do we subtract James from Romans, or do we add James to Romans? Or you could say, do we add Romans and James together? However you want to put it. And the answer is, we don't subtract when it comes to doctrinal issues. Now, I could go into the exception, which is really not an exception, but some people might make it so. So we add the two together. Abraham was justified not when he just believed God, but only by his work of offering Isaac. And it's in the context that he would have been operating by the faith of Christ. How do we know that? How do we know in the context of Romans 4, 2, and 3 that it had to be righteousness of Christ? And the answer is Romans 3, 21 and 22. Romans 3, 21 and 22. That's how we know absolutely for sure, because we only have righteousness by the faith of Christ. So where does this works come in? Well, works are not all the same works as we kind of finish up here. Works are not the same works. If you go through the book of Romans and just take that word, ergon, it's translated works most of the time, but sometimes deeds. You just take that one word, it's 14 times, could be 15, but I counted 14. Half are positive, works are very good. Half are negative. So you've got works in a very positive context, and you have works in a very negative context. The only time they're in a negative context, because we want to know the difference, the only time is when you're contrasting the work of the law of sacrifices found in the book of Moses. It's the only time it's negative. And you'll find that's when it says works or deeds of law. And it doesn't say works of the law, because the article is not even there. It's works of law, deeds of law. That's the only time. Now, I actually have a handout for you. I'll actually send this to you because it's all written up so that you can see exactly, again, what we're going through, because this is one of the subjects of the Apostle Paul. And when you get into the Apostle Paul, it's good to take some time to study it over. Otherwise, it gets really mixed up. So if you go back to Romans 3:21, the righteousness of God apart from the law of sacrifices, deeds of the law, which is also ergon of law. Deeds or works, it's the same word. Ergon of law. That's where you have a problem. And also in verse 2 of Romans 4, if Abraham was justified by works, ergon, of law, because that's the context, then he would have something to boast in. Because he was justified by his works, wasn't he? Working together. But the context is these Jews felt that you could be justified. Now, if you went to Acts 3, 38 and 39, Paul said, let it be known to you, this is Acts 13, 38 and 39, Let it be known to you, brethren, that through this man is preached to you the forgiveness of sins, and by everyone who believes is justified from all things from which you could not be justified by the law of Moses. Where do you go there to find out what he's talking about? You go to Hebrews chapter 9 and 10. So if you just put in Acts 13, 38 and 39, a note, go to Hebrews 9 and 10. Boy, that covers it completely. It's comparing the sacrifice of Christ to the sacrifice of animals. That's what it's doing. And it tells you, you can never have sins remitted by sacrifice of animals. You can be reminded of your sin. Slay that goat or slay that animal. Reminds me of what I did. That's a reminder. Okay? So, that pretty much ends it. It tells us it's impossible for bulls and goats to take away sins. So God's word is clear on the subject. Faith in Christ, absolutely necessary. And faith of Christ. And we cannot have the faith of Christ until we have the faith in Christ. So make a note of that. And if I think most of us probably have a King James Bible, and we could actually go when it comes to a subject like Romans and Galatians, I recommend just go to King James because you're going to get a better reading. And it is amazing how Satan the devil can take one little word, one little preposition, and cause so many problems in the world. But this way, God gives people a buy, doesn't he? And God says, well, I allowed it. Your mind is in a stupor. You're blinded. And so I give you a pass, so to speak, for a time. So let's not let faith in or faith of be confusing. I hope it's helpful to understand it in the right context with the right preposition.